your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond. Welcome to Alchemy. Today I'm here with Lisa Hurwitz. Lisa is the Chief Marketing and Innovation Officer at Grassroots Cannabis. Lisa, fantastic having you on the show today.
Jeff, thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Yeah. So for all of our listeners tuning in right now, Grassroots is one of the largest cannabis dispensary owners in the U.S. Really excited to have you on the show, mainly because you have this incredible background, you know, coming out of the CPG space. So I think just to kick things off, it'd be great just to talk a little bit about your most recent career, at least on the CPG side. You had launched like the first ever personalized diapers for Huggies, and you also launched, you know, a Kotex brand idea around She Can. So I'd love to hear a little bit about that. And then just talk a little bit about like the catalyst into, you know, now in the cannabis world.
Absolutely, Jeff. Yeah. You know, so my background, I mean, it really, I give P&G a lot of credit for my passion around consumer packaged goods and, you know, just kind of that career trajectory for me. I fell in love with packaged goods, really in the beauty category, which has kind of come full circle in that cannabis and beauty in terms of the topical space are actually very interlinked and becoming more so as kind of plant-based wellness and plant-based products become a more important part of the beauty category and kind of the market overall. But yeah, my background really was on the agency side, working with P&G across, you know, 30 or so of their brands, everything from Tide to Olay and Pantene to oral care brands like Crest and Oral-B. And then I was in-house at Kimberly-Clark for almost 4 years running global design, which was tons of fun and frankly gave me a huge appreciation for visual identity, packaging, and the importance of kind of design when it comes to brand building, which I think plays very well in the cannabis space as well. And also ran a lot of our global integrated marketing at Kimberly-Clark as well on some of our biggest brands, as you mentioned, Huggies and Kotex, and some frankly brands that, you know, would play in categories where there's a stigma attached to them, adult care like Poise and Depend and others, which again, overcoming some of, you know, what we've heard in the past about cannabis and, you know, kind of the just say no era of cannabis and that whole, it's going to age me a little bit, but that whole era and really overcoming that is very similar to some of the challenges I faced on some of my CPG brands in my past.
So I recently read something and there was the quote was, you know, from toilet paper to rolling papers, brands matter more than ever. And I really like that, but I'd love to hear from you. You've had this incredible background really around consumer products that are mainstream, and now you've moved over into the cannabis space. Like, what was it for you that made you say, you know what, this is what I'm going to do next? Like, because there has been a stigma, you know, for years in the space, and now it's more mainstream. But what was it that got you to really make that transition?
Yeah, Jeff, it's a great question. It's one I'm actually asked a lot. And it's funny because 18 months ago when I got into the cannabis space, people thought I was a little crazy. And now it's becoming so much more mainstream, which just shows you how fast this category moves. But there were really two reasons for me. The first of which was more of the professional side. So I had spent, you know, my career, most of it in packaged goods. And it's very difficult to grow these, you know, big brands. When you gain a point or two of market share, that's a real win in any given year. And for the most part, the conversations inside CPG have been about, you know, how do we, you know, cut costs, right? How do we grow at a very kind of small rate, things like that. And you just didn't see this exponential growth. And, you know, I'm an entrepreneur at heart in many ways and was really excited to get into a category where I could leverage a lot of the same skills I developed in CPG around brand building, around things like distribution and supply chain and packaging and all of that, but in a category that's all about top line growth, right? And all about kind of breaking down you know, conventions, and there really are no benchmarks in cannabis. It's such a new category that the world was wide open. And for me, that felt like an incredibly, it doesn't come along often in your career where you can look to what you've achieved in the past and say, huh, I actually think I've got a lot of those same skills to be able to carve out not just a new company or a new brand, but essentially an entirely new category. So that made it incredibly exciting for me on the professional side. On the personal side, and this gets to something that's very relevant since it's Women's History Month in March and International Women's Day coming up, was more the personal side. So I had a personal health challenge about 3 years ago when I was working at Kimberly-Clark, and it made me really reevaluate options around pharmaceuticals versus more natural treatments. And it led me into the world of, you know, CBD and into cannabis ultimately. And I realized that there was such a dearth of education. There was a ton of confusion in the category. And I really kind of made it my own personal mission and passion to help primarily other women, frankly, open their eyes to alternatives to pharmaceuticals and to other kind of more traditional forms of wellness and medicine, and look to more plant-based alternatives going forward. So it was really this sort of mix of the professional side as well as the personal side that kind of ultimately pushed me to make the jump about a year and a half ago.
Amazing. And so, you know, just kind of talking a little bit about, you know, Grassroots in particular, like you guys have licenses, and I think what I saw was 11 states. Is that correct?
Yes, and growing.
Yeah, I would love for you to, you know, well, for one, talk to us a little bit more about the company. So from its inception and the evolution, but like, what does the future look like for you guys?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, Grassroots really started, our founders, I think you'll find in the cannabis space, it's often finance, or in our case, it was real estate. They were real estate executives. So it started actually with a single dispensary right outside of Chicago in Deerfield, Illinois. And I think the power of seeing how medical cannabis could help patients on a daily basis really sort of was the genesis of the company and is still very much the DNA of who we are today. So we talk about helping people to live more deeply. We talk about helping the communities and the patients from all walks of life that we serve, right? So we're very much a community-based company, just like our name suggests. And we serve patients all over the country from rural Altoona, Pennsylvania to downtown Philadelphia, right? So very different demographics who have different types of medical challenges. In these rural areas, you often find opioid addiction to be something that's really kind of ravaged a community. Or you look at PTSD for veterans. All of which cannabis can be incredibly effective in helping. And then when you go into more urban communities, you often find, you know, anxiety and sleep and pain to be things that kind of rise to the surface that people need help with. So it was really that sort of dispensary first mindset and kind of a community first mindset that was the genesis of Grassroots. And now we are not only a dispensary operator in 11 states and growing, but we also have a very robust cultivation business in 6 of the 11 states we operate in. So we leverage what we know to be true about our consumers and our patients in our dispensaries, and that influences our product development and our kind of innovation pipeline when it comes to the cultivation side of the business. So I'm incredibly excited about the future of the space. You know, you asked about kind of what's coming down the pike. I think you're going to see, with the success of recreational legalization in Illinois, you're going to see more and more states, largely for the tax revenue and the benefits, you're going to see more states kind of follow suit. I think Illinois has had an incredibly successful first 2 months of the year. We operate in Michigan as well, which was recently recreationalized. They have started to really open up their program and license more dispensaries. And we're seeing a lot of success in the state of Michigan as well. So you're going to see more states come online. And I think you're gonna see more innovation. And I'm particularly passionate about innovation in what you can do with the actual plant itself, less so about innovation around like hardware or devices or, you know, different shapes of edibles and things like that. I think we've seen what I would call very light innovation in the space. And with more capital in the marketplace and, you know, kind of more success under the belt of a lot of these cultivators, you're going to see new parts of the plant get to be exposed. So most of the conversation to date has largely centered on CBD or THC. But the amazing thing about the cannabis plant is there are so many other cannabinoids that we haven't yet discovered, right? Without access to federal funding for research, it's been largely private funding or universities or others. And I think we're going to see that accelerate in the next few years. And you're going to hear more about some of these minor cannabinoids like CBG or CBN, which is very effective for sleep, or THCV. We recently launched a product in Illinois called Delta 8, which is a new form of Delta 9 THC. It's actually very good for beginners. It's a little bit less of a head high, a little bit more kind of a relaxing, clarifying type product. And we're seeing a lot of success in the recreational market and the medical market in Illinois with that Delta 8 product. So I'm most excited about how kind of the category is going to transform when it comes to innovation specifically around the plant.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're already starting to see that from at least even in the mainstream world of the CPG marketers, where big box retailers are starting to integrate, you know, CBD into their creams and, you know, moisturizers and lotions. And I just feel like the last month alone, it's just skyrocketed. Like everywhere you look, it's, you know, CBD across the board. So I feel like we're already starting to make a big dent, you know, in that industry. One thing that I wanted to ask you, because I know a lot of marketers are facing this right now, is because of the regulations on a state-by-state and city-by-city level, there's a lot of challenges in how you actually market to your customers. So just curious from you, like, what are some of the larger challenges that you face every day as a marketer?
Absolutely. I mean, compliance is a real challenge because when you operate in 11 plus states as we do, every single state has different regulations. There is no federal law around cannabis. It's not regulated by the federal government. So on a very basic marketing level, the biggest challenge I would say is scale. There's not necessarily consistency in terms of the same strains you're growing in any given state. So one of the kind of things people seem surprised about who are new to cannabis is that whatever you buy in a state must be grown in that state.
Right.
You can't ship the product across state lines, which in the traditional world of CPG and supply chain, you know, you have hubs, right? And of course, you have got distributors and you're able to ship a consistent product across state lines. That's very different in the case of cannabis. So building a national brand is really challenging. And then you get the individual state regulations around marketing. So in some states, you can say the word cannabis. In other states, you have to call it marijuana. In some states, you can use a leaf to signify that this is a cannabis product. In other states, you're not allowed to have a leaf. So those are just some examples. Then when you get into the media part, right? You know, the biggest challenge in kind of digital media is that Google and Facebook/Instagram, you know, will not allow paid advertising for cannabis brands on their platforms. So you need to really leverage kind of organic growth. We've done so leveraging, you know, influencers, which I think is a very effective form, particularly micro-influencers around kind of these local communities where we operate has been very effective for us. PR is another strategy that's been incredibly effective. But you're really challenged, you know, around sort of traditional media. Now, in a lot of states, we've seen those regulations open up. So you can do more digital media. You can do some out of home. But again, it's very dependent on kind of what inventory is available, which players in the media space are willing to run cannabis ads versus others. And those regulations are changing on a regular basis. So it requires an incredible amount of attention to detail around kind of compliance. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the lack of scalability, I think, makes it very different from traditional CPG.
Totally. And I think, you know, data is also a pretty important feature when it comes to marketing. And I think, you know, data and analytics as it relates to cannabis is so important as you're doing targeting. Like, anything you could maybe add along the lines of there of, you know, the importance of data, you know, when you're trying to market to the right customers?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the most exciting areas in my mind, again, coming from that CPG mindset, is vertical integration, which again is, you know, owning the cultivation and the processing around products and the dispensary side in certain states gives you tremendous access to data. So I think any big CPG company would love more first-party data. I've never heard one who said, actually, I'd rather not, right? And cannabis companies have just that, access to first-party data through their own dispensary data. So one of my primary initiatives coming in as CMO in late 2018 was to basically dive into all of our point of sale data, clean it up, and get it into a business intelligence tool where we could run analytics off of it. And also, I would say, make it HIPAA compliant, which I think is going to become more and more important as more kind of companies continue to collect data about their consumers. That sort of PII data and HIPAA compliant practices are going to become really critical. But what it's allowed us to do is really inform our product development. We can see what our patients are buying, what our competitors are selling, what they're doing really well. We have access to all of that data. We have access to demographic data, which we are able to leverage for CRM efforts, sophisticated kind of targeting. We're also, you know, now that some of the media pieces have opened up, able to use kind of our own first-party data to create lookalikes and you know, go after new patients with relevant messaging around sort of conditions that they may have that cannabis can help treat. We're also looking at you know, data for where we should open new dispensaries, right? So we have the ability to look at which dispensaries are performing, what are all the variables that go into a high-performing dispensary, and make smarter real estate decisions as we go into new states or open more dispensaries in kind of current states where we operate in, all leveraging our own proprietary first-party data to make these kinds of decisions, which I think is, if, you know, smart cannabis companies will recognize that as a significant competitive advantage moving forward, and will continue to leverage that to run their business.
Got it. And I think, you know, just from a first mover perspective, I think you've been kind of a trailblazer in this space, kind of moving from the traditional marketing world. And I'm already starting to see, you know, a lot of folks flocking from the J&Js and the PepsiCos and Unilever and P&G, like that world. I think looking into what's happening right now, I'm going to see more and more people, you know, from at least, you know, the traditional marketing sense moving over to cannabis. Do you kind of agree with that? Do you think the same thing's going to happen as we're kind of, this is becoming more mainstream and more states are, you know, legalizing it both on the medicinal and recreational perspectives?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's a natural place, again, for many of the same reasons I shared, that you'd see CPG executives want to move over, right? They want to be in high growth industries. They want to be in categories where they can leverage their knowledge and operating skills. And CPG, you know, and these cannabis companies need CPG executives who are trained in supply chain, who are trained in, you know, being able to leverage data and analytics in a more robust way. I would say the one thing that I would caution against is just that cannabis is still very, very much of a startup category. So it requires executives who can kind of flex and be flexible versus sort of that rigid kind of typical brand manager path, which frankly, I didn't go down in traditional CPG. I think my agency background gave me a really great grounding in a more entrepreneurial mindset and an ability to kind of zig and zag, which cannabis requires. There are no category benchmarks. There are no, you know, year over year, I mean, real results to look to say, okay, last year we did X, this year we need to pivot and do Y. It is very much of a test and learn industry and scenario and category. And I think you have to have CPG executives who have the right mindset to come in and say, I know how to pilot. I know how to try disruptive marketing programs or disruptive product innovation and things like that, that are willing to take risks versus okay, this is a category that we've, you know, that's been around for 50 years and we've seen highs and lows and kind of know how to model it out. There is no, I've said this in other kind of interviews I've done, there is no linear path to ROI in cannabis. And I think that's an important thing for CPG execs who are wanting to get into the space to keep in mind, is that it is anything but linear at this point.
Awesome. So very simple. Just, I'm going to ask you a couple rapid fire question. Just think of the first thing that comes to your mind. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. What's your favorite type of food?
Sushi.
What's one of the things that you put on your bucket list?
Traveling to every continent in the world.
What's your favorite summer activity?
I have a house in Michigan. It is 100% being up on the lake with my family.
Are you a morning person or a night person?
Definitely more of a night person.
What's the strangest thing you've ever eaten?
Ooh, that's hard. Sea urchin, maybe?
The sea urchin, yeah. Uni's pretty, I think a lot of people like uni, but yeah. It could be considered strange for people who've never seen it. We'll go with it.
All right.
Do you have any weird quirks?
Any weird quirks? I'm really obsessed with the weather. My husband makes fun of me about it all the time. He calls me the weather girl because I'm very strangely, I love the weather. I look at it on a very regular basis.
Well, if you ever want to talk about the weather, you can call me because I went to school to be a meteorologist. Swear to God.
Oh, that's awesome,
and
Jeff.
I did the weather on TV, you know, in undergrad as well. And I'll send you the videos. They're pretty funny.
All right. Well, you and I can swap because I'd love to learn how to be more of a meteorologist, a true one.
Yes, I am a total weather freak as well. So I'm with you. If there was a zombie apocalypse, would you survive?
Would I survive?
Yeah.
I believe I would survive. And that's, yeah, it's an interesting question given
I know.
The hysteria these days. Yes, absolutely.
Oh, I know. I mean, with coronavirus?
With coronavirus, exactly.
Right. What's your favorite show?
You know, it's funny. I am not a huge, I know this is going to sound crazy as someone who loves trends in the marketplace. I'm not a huge TV person. I don't know why.
That's all right. It's all good. If you had access to a time machine, where would you go and when would you go?
Great question. As I was a history and English major in college, so I'm pretty into the past, but I got to say I was like a massive Jetsons fan growing up. So I would go into the future. I think I'd want to go, you know, past this century into the next. And I would probably go, you know, after I was retired, I'd want to see kind of what was in the future, partially to meet my grandkids, and just see how people were living. If it really and truly was a Jetsons like experience, you know, 100 or so years from now.
I wonder, do you know what year the Jetsons took place in?
God, was it the 70s?
I mean, like, when was the future? Was it like 2020?
Oh, right? Good question. Now you're going to make me go back and look
really
that up.
Curious.
I always associated with like space travel and this kind of, you know, the future of like of where NASA would take us or Richard Branson. And I think, or now even Elon Musk. So it'd be good to take a look at that. I've got to look that one up.
Okay. So what do you think of when I say the word fruit?
I think of strawberries.
Strawberries. Mm. Well, spring is coming up, right? So it's almost strawberry season. And if you can describe yourself in three short words, what would they be?
Intense, passionate, and empathetic.
I love it. Well, Lisa, listen, thank you so much for coming on the show. It was great to really pick your brain, hear about all the great things you're working on, you know, in the CPG world, and now all the great things that you're working on the CPG cannabis world. And excited to, you know, watch you crush the space and continue to see what you guys are doing.
Well, thank you, Jeff. I appreciated being on today, and welcome yourself to the cannabis space. Exciting new things on the horizon, and appreciate the opportunity. So thanks a lot.
Awesome. This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.